This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of congenital muscular torticollis from the spine section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Congenital muscular torticollis is a musculoskeletal deformity caused by the abnormal contraction of the sternocleidomastoid muscle. The condition typically presents in infants and children with a persistent head tilt toward the involved side. Diagnosis is made clinically with the presence of a palpable neck mass from a contracted sternocleidomastoid muscle with the chin rotated toward the contralateral side. Treatment is typically passive stretching with the condition resolving within a year. Surgical lengthening of the sternocleidomastoid muscle is indicated with failed response to at least 1 year of stretching. Now let's get into the episode. With respect to epidemiology, as far as the incidence of congenital muscular torticollis, this is the most common cause of infantile torticollis and has an incidence of 0.3 to 2%. In terms of demographics, there is a 3 to 2 male to female ratio. The anatomic location, of course, is the neck, and risk factors include oligohydramnios, first pregnancy due to limited intrauterine space, traumatic delivery, as well as breech delivery. Moving on to etiology, in terms of pathophysiology, congenital muscular torticollis is caused by contracture of the sternocleidomastoid muscle. This results in a cervical rotational deformity with chin rotation away from the affected side and the head tilted towards the affected side. Pathophysiology may also be from a suspected muscle injury from compression and stretching of the sternocleidomastoid. Finally, the pathophysiology may also be related to a venous outflow obstruction in which compression leads to decreased blood supply and subsequent compartment syndrome. Associated conditions with congenital muscular torticollis includes other packaging disorders like developmental dysplasia of the hip, which has a 5 to 15% association, metatarsus adductus, and calcaneovalgus feet. Other associated conditions include plagiocephaly, which is asymmetric flattening of the skull, which occurs on the contralateral side, and congenital atlanto-occipital abnormalities. Now, let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll talk about the sternocleidomastoid muscle. Know that there are two origins to the sternocleidomastoid muscle. There's the sternal head, which originates at the anterior surface of the manubrium sterni, and the clavicular head, which originates at the superior surface of the medial third of the clavicle. Insertions include the lateral mastoid process on the temporal bone and the lateral occipital bone. Innervation is cranial nerve 11, which is otherwise known as the spinal accessory nerve. Know that this is at risk when operatively releasing the sternocleidomastoid. The function of the sternocleidomastoid is ipsilateral neck flexion and contralateral head rotation. Moving on to presentation of congenital muscular torticollis, these patients will have symptoms of head tilt and rotation, as well as painless passive motion. On physical exam, inspection may reveal a palpable neck mass from a contracted sternocleidomastoid. This is usually noted within the first 4 weeks of life or during newborn exam. In terms of head tilt and rotation, the neck will be tilting towards the affected sternocleidomastoid muscle, and the chin is rotated away from the affected sternocleidomastoid muscle. Finally, be sure to conduct a routine baby exam. So this will include assessing visual function, auditory assessment and neurologic exam, and also examine for hip dysplasia, foot deformities, as well as spine abnormalities. As far as motion assessment, in older children, these patients may have restriction of rotation and lateral flexion of the neck. Know that the mass can become a tight band. Moving on to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and lateral of the cervical spine. Indications include head tilt and rotation with no palpable mass, and it can also be indicated to rule out other bony conditions that can cause torticollis. Moving on to CT, recommended views include a dynamic CT scan, and be sure to scan at the C1, C2 level with the head straight, then in maximum rotation to the left and the right. This is indicated to rule out atlantoaxial rotatory subluxation. Moving on to MRI, recommended views include an MRI of the brain and the cervical spine, and this is indicated to rule out non-muscular and central causes of torticollis. Finally, moving on to ultrasound, indications include head tilt and rotation with decreased range of motion in the presence of a palpable mass. Findings include a larger and hyperechoic sternocleidomastoid muscle due to fibrosis on the involved side when compared to the contralateral side. Be sure to differentiate congenital muscular torticollis from more serious underlying neurologic or osseous abnormalities. Moving on to the differential diagnosis for congenital muscular torticollis, the ones to know include atlantoaxial rotatory subluxation, clipofile syndrome, ophthalmologic and vestibular conditions, as well as lesions of the central and peripheral nervous system. So atlantoaxial rotatory subluxation is painful compared to the painless nature of congenital muscular torticollis. Atlantoaxial rotatory subluxation can be post-traumatic or post-infectious, which is known as Gristle's disease. Klippel-Feil syndrome has a classic triad of a short webbed neck, low posterior hairline, and limited cervical range of motion. Moving on to treatment of congenital muscular torticollis, this can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes passive stretching, which is indicated if the condition is present for less than 1 year. It's also indicated when there's less than 30 degrees limitation in range of motion. In terms of outcomes, 90 to 95% of patients respond to passive stretching in the first year of life. Operative options include bipolar release of the sternocleidomastoid or Z-lengthening. This is indicated after failed response to at least 1 year of stretching. As far as outcomes, there are good outcomes, specifically a 92% success rate, even in older children. Facial asymmetry can improve as long as the release is done prior to 10 years of age. Now, let's go over these management techniques in a bit more detail. So the technique for passive stretching will be opposite of the deformity. So lateral head tilt away from the affected side and chin rotation toward the affected side. Moving on to bipolar release of the sternocleidomastoid or Z lengthening, the technique is a short proximal incision behind the ear to divide the sternocleidomastoid. You can use a single or dual incision to reach the sternal and clavicular attachments of the sternocleidomastoid. Complications include the sternocleidomastoid branch of cranial nerve 11, which is the spinal accessory nerve, which will be at risk. Complications to mention include permanent rotational deformity, and risk factors are if this condition is left untreated or unnoticed. Positional plagiocephaly is another complication, and risk factors again is if this condition is left untreated or unnoticed. Craniofacial deformities, specifically facial asymmetry or facial hemihypoplasia, and compensatory scoliosis. In terms of prognosis of congenital muscular torticollis, this typically resolves with stretching within the first year. If left untreated, as we mentioned, this may lead to permanent rotational deformity, positional plagiocephaly, craniofacial deformities like facial asymmetry and/or facial hemihypoplasia, and compensatory scoliosis. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 6-week-old female infant presents with a neck deformity and palpable mass. She's had persistent lateral tilting of her head to the right since birth, and rotation of the neck is restricted. In this age group, what is the most common cause of this rotational abnormality? And the choices are 1. Congenital muscular torticollis, 2. Klippel-Feil syndrome, 3. Arnold-Chiari malformation, 4. Atlantoaxial rotatory displacement, and 5. Paroxysmal torticollis of infancy. The correct answer to this question is 1. Congenital muscular torticollis. So congenital muscular torticollis, or CMT, is the most common cause of torticollis in infancy. Neurologic disorders and osseous abnormalities such as Klippel-Feil are less common. Ultrasonography is considered the modality of choice for differentiating congenital muscular torticollis from other more serious pathologies in the neck when a palpable mass is present. The initial treatment of congenital muscular torticollis is conservative, and good outcomes can be expected in the majority of these cases. Tang et al. Used ultrasound to examine affected sternocleidomastoid muscles in patients with congenital muscular torticollis classified as having one of 4 types of fibrosis. They determined the change in fibrosis type over time and concluded that congenital muscular torticollis is a dynamic disease which can be accurately assessed and followed by ultrasonography. Benign paroxysmal torticollis is a self-limiting condition occurring during infancy. It resolves by the age of 2 to 3 years. Paroxysmal torticollis of infancy is a rare disorder characterized by periodic episodes of torticollis which are associated with pallor, agitation, and ataxia. The etiology is unknown and no treatment is effective, however the condition is usually benign and self-limiting. And moving on to the final question, tightness in which of the following muscles has been implicated as an etiology for congenital muscular torticollis? And the choices are 1. Platysma, 2. Omohyoid, 3. Longus coli, 4. Sternocleidomastoid, and 5. Trapezius. The correct answer to this question is 4. Sternocleidomastoid. So tightness of the sternocleidomastoid muscle leading to a stiff and tilted neck is associated with the muscular variety of congenital torticollis. The differential diagnosis of the wry neck, however, includes sequelae to inflammatory, ocular, neurologic, or orthopedic diseases, so therefore a thorough and systematic workup is warranted, including a complete physical and neurologic exam and cervical spine radiographs. The treatment for the muscular variety is observation and physical therapy. that will focus on stretching, where the lateral head is tilted away from the affected side and the chin is rotated toward the affected side. Then Botox or sternocleidomastoid muscle lengthening for refractory cases. Overall, it is important to differentiate muscular from non-muscular torticollis because the muscular type is benign while the non-muscular type could be potentially life-threatening. That's all for this review about congenital muscular torticollis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.